Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Walter Dean on the show called Getting It Done. Sorry I'm late. Show normally starts at 5 o'clock. However, I had to take care of some very important business, and seemed like evidently that was accomplished. And so now I'm about ready to do the show. Would you give me a minute so I can take a breather? Just 1 second. All right. The show today is going to be about something that most people don't understand and don't have the faintest notion. Most people believe that Jim Crowism was felt very strongly only in the South. And I'm here to tell you it was felt not only in the South, but also all over the country. You know, for a long period of time, Black people were mistreated. And they were mistreated in so many different ways that it's just, you know, you say, okay, they were mistreated during slavery. That was probably the only time that that happened. But that's not the case. It's more than that. Black people were mistreated going all the way back after the completion of slavery. Black people were mistreated for long periods of time. And even though the troops were in town, the troops were available and protected Black people for a long period of time, that didn't last long, mainly because of the change of Lincoln being shot, and then, of course, other things that occurred directly after that. One of the biggest things that happened that didn't happen during the period that you might consider to be a period that was sort of dangerous, and that's directly after Reconstruction. Reconstruction was a period when large numbers of African Americans who were in office lost their places in office, primarily because of the negative aspects of people wearing white sheets. They came in and just those along with the carpetbaggers that did much harm to. And the reason why I'm pausing all this, I'm trying to pull up my program, the program that I had scheduled, and my computer is always doing its thing, not allowing me to get to where I want to go. But I have to bear with it, and you're going to have to bear with me. Let's see now. One of the most racist presidents that we had, besides the one that's in office now, you would have thought was Harry Truman, who had admitted that he had been a Klan member. But no, it was Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson caused a lot of problems in terms of getting into. Well, I'm telling you, this thing is really not messing. This thing is really messing with me today. And you know, I'm just going to go right with it. I'm trying to cancel stuff that is put up here, and but it, for some strange reason, it won't allow me to go where I need to go. And but I'm going to hang in here and do what I can do. So, I'm not going to get all upset about it. Be perfectly honest with you. Here we go again. On the mulberry bush. Yeah. Yeah, you'd think I would cancel the show, but I'm not going to cancel the show just because this computer will not function the way I want it to function. Here, it seems to pull it up, but it's not giving me the show. Okay, let's see what happens here. Nope. No, I won't do it. Hey, looks like we might have something here. Okay, let me turn it up for you to hear. All right. I think we just about got it. Sorry for being late. Let's see what happens here. Well, no, it jumped off into something else. Can you see that? Had it set up, but it wouldn't work. Let's see if we can pull it back up again. No, it went to something else. Well, I was talking to you about Jim Crowism, and Jim Crowism actually started around the time of Woodrow Wilson's administration. So we've had other presidents besides the one we have presently that actually doesn't work 2 cents. Another thing that Woodrow Wilson did that I think that was halfway decent was the League of Nations. Where we had the United Nations today, he had what was called the League of Nations. But let me see if I can type it in and see if that will give me what I want. Because I'm not getting anything this way except a bunch of nonsense. Let's see. Let's write up in here. Didn't get it that way either. So I'll just go ahead and talk to you about it. Jim Crow has long been a slang term for a black man, making it a fitting name for the laws that were enforced in the South and some bordering states from 1877 through the mid-1960s. Can you do that? Went on from 1877 Reconstruction all the way to 1960. These laws were in place to maintain racial segregation after the Civil War ended. Initially, Jim Crow laws required the separation of white people and people of color in all forms of public transportation and in schools. Evidently, the segregation expanded to include an interaction and in cuddling in schools, cemeteries, parks, theaters, and restaurants. That meant that no matter what we were involved with, we did it separately, and that's where the term Jim Crow comes in to play. Comes into play because black people actually were set up in a structure. It actually didn't start in 1877, but forms of it did. But when Woodrow Wilson got in office, he really took hold and pushed. But actually, cemeteries, you know, think of from the womb to the tomb. Cemeteries actually were in place where black people could not even bury people in certain cemeteries. They had segregation completely. Schools, parks, theaters. In fact, to give you an example of what I'm talking about, we had a problem with in Richmond, Virginia, where Arthur Ashe's name is Arthur Ashe Park today. But when Arthur Ashe was growing up and it was a child and when he was really young, they wouldn't even allow him to go in there and learn how to play tennis, to be perfectly honest with you. The overarching purpose of Jim Crow laws was to prevent contact between black people and white people as equals. Not that they were separated together, but they were separated because the white institutions wanted to make black people feel and believe that they were not as good as white people. And this established white people as a Jim Crow laws began in 1877. It began then when the Supreme Court ruled that states couldn't prohibit segregation on common modes of transportation, such as trains, streetcars, and riverboats. And later, in 1883, the Supreme Court overturned specific parts of the Civil Rights Act in 1875, confirming that separate but equal concepts existed and should exist. And during the ensuing years, states passed laws instituting requirements for separate and equal accommodations for black on public modes of transportation. I remember as a child coming to visit my grandparents in South Carolina, got on a train in Waterbury, Connecticut, where we were living. Everybody got on the train wherever they wanted to sit. And when we got to the train station, when we rode the train from Waterbury to New Haven, everything was cool. This is in Connecticut. Down to New York, Grand Central Station. We had to get off the Grand Central Station and go to the Pennsylvania Station, which was another station leading to the south. Grand Central Station just took care of people going to the west and also to the north, back and forth. However, we'd catch the subway or a taxi to take us right down to Penn Station, catch our train out of Penn Station, all people sitting together, black and white. Now remember, this is in the early 60s, in the late 50s, that I was growing up then, growing up as a kid. And what was so interesting, and you don't even realize what's going on. Once you get to Washington, D.C., the train disconnects, and the train that you're riding in is left sitting right there on the tracks. And then what occurs directly after that is the train is now goes right past you, jumps some tracks, and then backs up and takes the train that you're in, where nothing but black people are in. This, after Washington, D.C., you're now in the bosom of the South, and people could not ride with white people because white people are supposed to be superior to black people. Now, I also remember as a child, when this law really affected me greatly, because I almost did not live. And my lungs today are still messed up because what happened then. I caught pneumonia. However, they wouldn't allow me in the White Hospital in Columbia, South Carolina. So I was admitted to the black hospital. The white hospital had oxygen tents They didn't have oxygen masks at that particular time, but they had little tents that they put you under, and air would be blown into you so you could breathe. I could not breathe. They didn't have any oxygen tents. My grandmother, God rest her soul, breathed in my mouth all night to keep me alive. The truth of the matter, because black people were not allowed in a white hospital. In some cases, they were in the basement of the white hospital. But in a black hospital, they did not have the equipment that the white hospital had. Restrooms, prisons, and these facilities were usually inferior to facilities for white people, although the laws called for the separation facilities to be of equal quality. They weren't. They weren't if they didn't have an oxygen tent for me as a child. They didn't have, and they had them for the white people in the other parts of the hospital and also in the other hospital. Jim Crow laws also influenced social interaction between blacks and whites. Failure to enforce these laws resulted in fines or imprisonment. So there are cases where black people couldn't even talk to some white people, couldn't even converse with them. Into the 20th century, Jim Crow laws continued to govern everyday life in America, prohibit black and white interaction. For instance, the state of Georgia, blacks and whites had to use separate parks. Can you believe it? Black people could not be involved with the same parks that white people were in. They couldn't go in swimming pools where white people went in. Many people would be put in jail. Blacks and whites could not play checkers together in Birmingham, Alabama, under a 1930 law. And in 1935, blacks and whites were forbidden from voting together in Oklahoma. Blacks who violated these laws could be physically beaten by whites without reprisal. Lynching occurred all the time, and starting frequently when blacks violated Jim Crow laws. So you can see that some of the things that are going on today were worse or at the same peak. It's just that more black people were killed then than are being killed today. When World War II erupted and the United States interacted with conflict, Jim Crow laws were still enforced. Racial segregation was an illegal part of society in some parts of the country, so black men who served in the military were assigned to menial kinds of jobs, actually. Most of them were cooks, especially in the Navy. And some of them had some tremendous skills. And they served in what was called segregated divisions. The divisions were all made up of white people or black people. Black servicemen, and this goes all the way back to the Civil War, that same kind of thing existed in the Union. In the Union, who were supposed to be fighting for our slave, for freedom. But it wasn't something that started in 1877. In the military, it began way before that, especially in the North. So Jim Crowism was not just in the South. It was all over the place. At first, black servicemen did not engage in combat. But as the war went on, increasing numbers were placed in front lines positions where they served with distinction. I can remember my uncle talking to me about the 24th Division and the 25th Division. Both of them were all black divisions. I had an uncle, his name was my uncle Ulysses, who was in artillery in the 24th Division, and I had two other uncles, and both of them were in the Navy. Black servicemen were given lesser support positions such as grave digging or cooking. And they served food in separate lines with white servicemen. At first, as the war went on, they had no choice, but they put black people in the front lines, and they fought with distinction. Many of them won all kinds of awards. After World War II ended, American segregation policies were put under the microscope. President Harry Truman, that same president who was a hat maker or a haberdasher maker out in Kansas, was a Ku Klux member, admitted it, was a Democrat. But because of this, the type of Democrat he was, Under Roosevelt, he did much for the service. President Harry Truman created a committee to investigate the issue, and in 1948, Truman issued an executive order that eliminated racial discrimination in all of the military branches. The tide began to turn noticeably towards equality in the following years, and with a series of Supreme Court victories for civil rights, black people finally began breaking down racial barriers and challenging segregation with success. The pinnacle of this effort was passage of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, when I was still in school, which abolished Jim Crow laws. This law outlawed discrimination in any type of public accommodation. In other words, black people could go in and stay at a white hotel. In many white hotels, you still could not get in. I can remember Joe Louis was the very first person who stayed at the Hilton Hotel in Waterbury, Connecticut. Prior to that, and that was in 1950 something. Black people finally got breaking this, and the laws outlaws discrimination in any type of public accommodation. And in 1965, the voting rights followed, which protected black people's rights to vote by barring discriminatory voting laws. So you know, the treatment of black people, it's just been a constant thing. It's not something that just happens when you see somebody take their knee and kill somebody by pushing on their throat or shooting somebody in the back 7 times. This has been going on ever since 1877, and even sooner, more than that, actually, to be perfectly honest with you, when we talk about slavery. My question to you is, do you want to hear some more about this? Because, you know, we had a president that most people don't pay that much attention to. So let's find out about who this general was. Found the definition of Jim Crow laws. Summary in the definition is, the Jim Crow laws were statutes enacted by Southern states beginning in the late 1870s and early 1880s. That legalized segregation between African Americans and white people. The Jim Crow laws restricted the rights of African Americans to use public facilities, schools, to vote, to find descendant decent employment basically excluded African Americans from exercising their rights as citizens in the United States. It to me is remarkable. So many people seem to forget what went on. All you have to do is check out history. I mean, you can see it. I mean, I'm writing a book right now about my life as a child, how the various kinds of things occurred in the public school that I went to in Waterbury, Connecticut, and how I was treated as an African-American boy. Well, Jim Crow laws for kids. Now, here's Ulysses S. was the 18th American president who served in office from March the 4th, to 1869, to March 4th, 1877. And one of the more important events during his presidency was the emergence of the Southern Jim Crow laws. Now, here's a general who was general of the army under Abraham Lincoln. And under his administration, from 1869 to March 1877, that's when those laws really became effective. Beginning in 1877. Well, let's find out a little bit about Reconstruction, actually, because, see, if you have something, that's one thing, and if you lose what you had, it's nice to know how you lost it so that won't occur again. Reconstruction era began in 1866 and actually died a fatal death in 1881. The articles of the section in the United States History for Kids relate to the date covering from 1866 to 1881 was a period of Reconstruction. Reconstruction era was a period in American history when the southern states were occupied by federal troops as the state governments, their economy, and the infractions were rebuilt. Now, let me explain what that all means. And so you can see some of the same kinds of things that are happening today. Oh, you had people on the right side of things, and you had some people on the left side of things, meaning wrong side of things. It was also the period in American history that saw the emergence of the carpetbaggers, the scallywags, the black codes, and the Ku Klux Klan and the Jim Crow laws. Now, we're talking about a variety of people who came out of nowhere to support what the President of the United States was causing, and that was Jim Crowism. The leaders of the country who were elected president during the Reconstruction era and helped to make United States history were Andrew Johnson, my goodness gracious, Andrew Johnson. Wow. Andrew Johnson, by the way, was from West Virginia. And when Lincoln was assassinated, he was the Vice President of the United States. And he actually tried to follow some of Lincoln's policies, although he was an out-and-out racist. prison. I guess he was trying to hold the country together. Then after him became Ulysses S. Grant. And the end of the Reconstruction era.
Wow.
The Reconstruction era during the presidency of Rutherford B. Hayes, followed by the assassination of James Garfield. So James Garfield was in the same kind of mode in terms of trying to help. But Rutherford B. Hayes, who was his vice president, caused lots and lots of problems. Finding interesting facts, history and important information about United States history in 1866 to 1881, in the Reconstruction era and the guided Gilded Age, with a short summary and definition, can be found in your American history books, whether you believe it or not. Although most people don't pay that much attention to it. Let's the little bit of time that I have left. I'd like for us to take a look at. I have about maybe close to 45 minutes left. Let's take a look at President Andrew Johnson, and let's see what things that he did to make things better or to make things worse. His accomplishments and biography of life of Andrew Johnson, in summary, you might find extremely, extremely interesting. Strange looking guy. I thought he was from Virginia, but actually from Tennessee. President Johnson was born in 1808, so he goes all the way back in his development when slavery was occurring. And he lived to be a pretty elderly gentleman for the age that people were around at that particular time. Was the 17th American president and served in the office from 1865 to 1869. The presidency of Andrew Johnson spanned the period of the United States history and encompasses the events of the Reconstruction era and the Gilded Age. Let me say that Gilded Age, and I'll come back and talk about that for a brief minute. President Andrew Johnson represented the Republican National Union political party, which influenced the domestic and the foreign policies of his presidency. This was the period of the Wild West, with its famous cowboys, lawmen, and gang slingers, and the expansion of a nation all the way up to the purchase of Alaska. He was around a lot of things that were going on. The major accomplishment of this famous man, events that occurred during the time that he was in office, included the Reconstruction of the South and the ratification of the 13th and 14th Amendments to the Constitution, the infamous Black Codes. Let me say that again. When we were talking about president that we have in office right now, this particular person who was in office when he was famous for the Black Coats, the Carpetbaggers, the Scallywaggers, the Civil Rights Act of 1866, and the rise of the Ku Klux Klan. So you can see where this dude was at. I don't have the fit. I think, you see, you know, when you appoint someone to function as the vice president under your administration, you try to put somebody in office who's pretty good, number one, but more importantly, someone who can help you get votes to win the election. And so be this was the case with Abraham Lincoln, because he was known as a very lenient kind of person. Of course, he didn't want slavery to end, but he did want some other things to occur. And Johnson fit right into that scheme of being able to help him win some Southern votes to, he was from Tennessee, the Southern state. And so Johnson was brought up during the period of slavery. He was born in 1808, you know, when he was 18 years old. Slavery was still going on, still occurring. So in his mind and in his way of thinking, he was a person that still didn't know that he was functioning as a racist person, that white people were better than black people. And so much so that in 1868, he was impeached. Impeached, the proceedings of Andrew Johnson began when he breached the Tenure of Office Act, of the Office Act. The president was acquitted following the impeachment trial, the same as was our present president. When he breached that office, the president was acquitted, and that was when the trial took place. After Andrew Jackson died, Johnson died of a stroke in July 3rd, 1877. He passed away when he was 66 years old. And the next president that followed him was Ulysses S. Grant. So if you want to see exactly how slavery no longer existed, but it kept black people in a subservient role, just as if they were in slavery. Now, so we know that, at least I think I know that Andrew Johnson didn't do anything to help black people. If he was around when black codes were put into office and allowed that to happen, carpetbaggers and scallywags, and the rise of the Ku Klux Klan, my goodness gracious. Let's find out about Ulysses S. Grant, mainly, because what was so remarkable about Grant, he was the general in charge of the armed Union forces to help free the slaves. Let's see if he did anything to try to hold things together, because, you see, soldiers were sent to the South, and he was to help. Grant was born in 1822, and he passed on in 1885. He was nicknamed the Unconditional Surrender Grant, was the 18th American president, and served in the office from 1869 to 1877. President Ulysses Grant spanned the period in United States history and encompassed the events of the Reconstruction era in the guided Gilded Age. President Ulysses S. Grant represented the Republican political party, the same party that Lincoln was in, and the same party where Andrew Johnson was in. See, large numbers of African-American people who were called Negroes at that particular time, or colored folks, were really misled by those thinking that the Republican Party was going to continue to help them. So when one person was voted in, they always voted for the Republicans. This was back in the day because Lincoln was the one that freed a lot of people. He didn't free everybody. He freed a lot of black people living in the South. Okay? Okay, so one of the things that we find out about Ulysses S. Grant, that his administration of the military hero he was, who was married by a series of scandals, and while he was in office, you know what I mean. So you think our president now that there's no scandals affiliated with him? Hey, Ulysses S. Grant had that same thing. However, the major accomplishment in this famous man's events that occurred during the time of Ulysses Grant was what they call the completion of the Transcontinental Railroad. Well, the railroad started one part of the country and was able to go all the way to the west. Also, the panic of 1873 with the Whiskey Ring scandal, the 1875 the Belknap bribery scandal, 1876, the famous Battle of Little Bighorn, and 1876 also occurred during the presidency, where Ulysses S. Grant died of cancer on July 23rd at the age of 63. So that gives you sort of a picture. Because he was born in 1822 during slavery. From 22 to 32 to 42, as a young man of 20 years of age, at 1842, he also was a part of that. And that is one of the main reasons why you had segregation in the armed service. He never wanted to make anything with black people were completed or treated equal to white people. So, you know, a lot of things were said about him other than being a big brand drinker. Can't stay drunk most of the time, from what I've been able to read and understand. So, we have about 7 minutes left. First of all, let me apologize for the problems that we had starting the show late and then trying to pull up a program that would immensely provide you with a lot of education concerning Jim Crowism. But so I had to actually do it on my own. There's another president that came along who was born in the same year as our last president. He was the 19th president of the United States. And his name was Rutherford Hayes. Most people around that time used to call him Rutherford Floyd. Yeah, he, like other presidents, he got messed up in a lot of other stuff. You know, it's hard to place some of these presidents on the pedestal because they weren't worked too. Like I said, he was the 19th president of the United States. He served in office from 1877 to 1881. And if you get the motion that he spanned the period of United States history that encompasses the events of the Reconstruction era, such as the Guided Era. President Rutherford B. Hayes represented the Republican political party, which influences domestic and foreign policies of his presidency. By the way, So every president we had after Lincoln up to this particular time were Republicans, and they were able to stay in office because of the large, the black people who were allowed now to vote because of the 14th Amendment. The major accomplishment, famous main events that occurred during the time of Rutherford B. Hayes was called the Compromise of 1877 and the End of Reconstruction. The End of Reconstruction. I'll say that again. Reconstruction continued under the last two presidents after Lincoln. However, this conclusion occurred where he had a hand in what was called the Compromise of 1877, which is the end of the Reconstruction. Other important events included civil service reform, the Bland-Allison Act of 1878, and initiating the American control canal, Panama Canal. Hayes died when he was, he died of a heart attack and he was 70 years old. Now he died in 1893. So he not only lived through all the slavery, but also lived through all of the Reconstruction or the conclusion thereof. So you have a good idea of how freedom was not so much taken away from black people, but degraded in terms of their movement, their abilities to eat where they wanted to eat. Anything that they wanted to do, they had to do in a very close circle, which now is called segregation, where all black people had to do everything together. So they couldn't make them slaves any longer, but what they did was they took away all of their rights, even the right almost not to even exist. The next president was James Garfield. And the reason why I've taken this period of time to talk about these particular presidents, they were the ones that were that maintained slavery. Not slavery, but a form of slavery. And that was Jim Crowism. Each one of them did their own share to cement and segregate black people from white people. And next week, or today is Friday, on Monday, God willing, I'm going to continue because I think it's important sometimes we place our presidents on such a high pedestal where they did wrong. It should be brought to the attention of everybody, so that these particular persons will not be rated so highly as previous fathers of this country. If they're going to be rated as fathers of the country or continue with certain things, we should talk about what they did to make us unified. And just those four people that we talked about so far did nothing to unify black people. This has been Getting It Done. I have been your host, Dr. Walter Dean, talking about four presidents and the form of Jim Crowism and the beginning of segregation in this country that we should pay close attention to so we don't end up back there again. Get out and vote, people. Have a good weekend.